Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Let's roll out, well, what is Dan's actual last podcast of the week that we like to call the Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and with me, of course, is the aforementioned Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so if you missed yesterday, swing on over there and check it out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link. Get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like it while you're over there, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three.
Oh, well, you know, Dan, I think this is the first time all week that there was no new Antonio Brown news. So that's kind of unbelievable, huh?
Until he puts out a rap CD.
Yeah. So there was some other, I guess what you would call interesting football news. The Jets apparently are beset by injury. They actually lost their third receiver yesterday, Quincy Anunia, for the season with a neck injury. Le'Veon Bell was sent for an MRI, but that came back clean, so he's actually expected to play Monday night. But the big news, Dan, I hope you don't have Sam Darnold in any of your leagues, because he has mono, and it appears like he is going to be out multiple weeks.
Yeah,
I don't know what he's got. He's got to stop doing something. But that means if you're, if you're looking, you know, now's the time to get out there and pick up Trevor Siemian, because he is going to be the heir apparent there as Darnold recovers from his, what they used to call it, the kissing disease. I don't know if they still call it that, but so. There you go. So you didn't end up with him in any way, shape, or form?
I don't even know who that is.
He's the Jets quarterback. So he is, interestingly enough, mine and Mr. Fantasy's backup in the Money League. But we have Aaron Rodgers, so there's no, you know, need that he's going to play more than 1 week. So but yeah, it's been kind of an odd start for the Jets. You know, they lost their defensive player last week, CJ Mosley. He hasn't practiced this week, but it does appear like he's going to play Monday night. They just kind of seem, you know, they're the team that's hit with injuries. There always seems to be one, right?
Oh yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, right now,
Malik Baker, Mayfield does well against the Jets.
Well, CJ Mosley doesn't play. He probably will. You know, that's kind of what got the Bills back in the game. Once Mosley went out, Buffalo was actually able to move the ball a little, and they ended up winning. So, yeah, if he doesn't end up playing on Monday night, I think that's going to be a huge deal for that Jet defense again, and you know they could be in some trouble. You know that, and I mean, can the Browns really have two bad games to roll out the season?
They would hope not, right?
Yeah. You know, and I know a couple injury updates that actually really affect fantasy owners. They did, it looks like they ruled that Darius Geis, the Redskins running back, who actually started last week, Adrian Peterson, was inactive. They're saying now that he is going to be out 6 to 8 weeks with that left knee injury. Not the same knee that caused him to miss all of last year, but they're saying 6 to 8 weeks on him. So if Adrian Peterson is floating around in your league, you might want to grab him. The news not so good for the Jaguars, though, Dan, is after they gave Nick Foles all that money, he broke his clavicle.
Yeah.
They still haven't seemed to come up with a timeline for his return. They plugged him on IR, which means I think he has to sit out till week 11. But they're talking now like he won't even be ready to return when week 11 rolls around. So it may just kind of be a wasted contract year for the Jaguars and Nick Foles.
Looks like they should have kept, Blake Bortles.
Yeah, so they're going to stick with Gardner Minshew as their starter. They did go out and trade with the Steelers for Joshua Dobbs, and it appears he'll be their backup. If you're looking for quarterbacks, we'll have a couple different starters this week than week one already. That didn't take long at all. But in a league like ours, Dan, obviously you and I know with the 20 teams, these are the things you look for. If somehow you did get a backup quarterback, you're looking for these injuries so you can jump on and grab these guys and, kind of solidify the back end of your roster. But, yeah, one of those odd things. So we'll see how it works out and who gets healthy and how things go. But I know, the Jets schedule, it almost looked like, because I believe they played the Browns this week. Then they get to play New England in week three. And then I think they have the early bye week. I believe they're off in week four. But they the schedule makers didn't do them any favors after that. They come back with still some tough games here. They have Philadelphia, Dallas, and then the Patriots again. So, there's a chance that the Jets are going to come out of the gate like 0-6 or something. So not looking like it's going to be the best start for Adam Gase, the former Chicago Bears quarterback whisperer. And the sad part, Dan, is I think I bought in on Robbie Anderson again. This is like the third year in a row I've bought in on Robbie Anderson because the first year I had him, he had a 1,000-yard season for me, so I keep bringing a guy. I keep finding ways to get him on my team. And, last year he was the team was horrible. He was horrible. Now the quarterback's hurt, and they have, the worst schedule in the NFL. I don't know. I'm starting to feel like you and some of your guys. Just one of those odd things. But yeah, other than that, surprisingly, not a huge amount of football news today. Obviously we have the Thursday night game. If you're interested in watching, is it Carolina at Tampa Bay or Tampa Bay at Carolina? I don't remember which one it is. So, you can, if you have the NFL Network, you can check that out. As Dan knows from my little Twitter beef there, I cannot, but Uverse did finally reply to me with their corporate statement about why I can't do that. I can stream it on Fubo TV, and if my internet would have worked before Dan and I were trying to get the podcast set up, I would have been able to know if I could do that, but apparently I'll have to do that when we're done. So there you go. Now, I don't even think I have anybody going tonight. Did you check the lineup to make sure you're set?
Yeah, it looks like I don't have many Thursday nighters in.
So yeah, because I don't think. I better double check the Money League lineup there, Dan, while we're talking about it, because I don't want Mr. Fantasy to jump all over me if for some reason we didn't get the right guy in. I think our backup tight end is a. a Buccaneer, but not exactly somebody we're looking to play, even though our starter did suck last week. So we'll have to see here. Where is it? There it is, right there. And yeah, you know, I'm glad I bounced over to this site, because there's actually something I wanted to run by you a little later. So I'm glad I remembered to swing by. But yeah, I don't know. I'm you know, our team got off to such a bad start in this money league, Dan, that I'm a little worried. But I keep telling myself Ezekiel Elliott's going to come around, and you know, we'll be okay. So. Yeah, it looks like just one Tampa Bay guy on the bench, man. So I am okay for tonight there. So we don't have to worry about Mr. Fantasy yelling at me for anything. But I came across this story earlier, and you know, anytime I hear this player's name, and it's an NBA player, so I'm sure you know who it is already, Dan. I immediately think of, oh, cool, I'll have to remember to tell Dan about that. Apparently, Dan, the Brooklyn Nets, the veterans on the team, are really kind of getting in the ear of the front office guys, and they're trying to get them to sign a certain player, Dan. Who is that player?
LeBron James.
No. Come on. Who's your guy?
Derrick Rose.
No, you only have one guy. We know who it is. Come on, don't fave everybody here. Let them know who the Nets are thinking about signing.
Ooh. Oh, they're going to sign Carmelo.
There you go. Yeah, they're interested in Carmelo Anthony. You know, like I said, they've been getting in the front office's ear, especially the general manager, who's Sean Marks. You know, there Anthony just put out like a workout video where he was playing against some other NBA guys. You know, Danny Green was specifically the other guy I could pick out in the video. And obviously he looked great. You know, it's a summer workout, so you got to kind of wonder. But yeah, he apparently has spent his summer out in Los Angeles working out and playing pickup games. So I don't know. You like this? Does Carmelo actually have anything left, or?
I mean, isn't he more like a fifth man or sixth man? I mean.
Yeah, well, you know, that was his problem, you know, in Oklahoma City, was they asked him to take that sixth man role, and he basically told them to, you know, go scratch. You know, he felt he was still a starter. You know, at Houston, he was a little more accepting of it. I think he was coming off the bench there. Yeah, he only made two starts in the 10 games he played there with them last year. So, yeah, I mean, as a bench guy, if he's playing 15 to 20, can he be effective?
I think so. I mean, if you're trying to get him to start, well, you know, with the way the game is played, if he started, it just means he's basically an opener, right?
Right. Yeah. He'd be the NBA version of an opener. So. You know, and yeah, it was weird because I know, you know, everybody was kind of excited that he was going to Houston, but I don't know how good of a fit with him that was. You know, that was a big-time up-tempo offense that likes to shoot the three. And, you know, while Carmelo can score, he's not a big three-point shooter. You know, even in his career, he averages a little under 4 3-pointers a game. And I bet that's, you know, really towards the bottom of the guys you think are like stars. So, you know, maybe Brooklyn would be a better fit. I mean, obviously they wouldn't have Kevin Durant this year, but you know, he'd get to play with Kyrie, and I don't know if, you know, did they add anybody else? I can't remember off the top of my head. So, you know, it could be, you know, could be interesting. I mean, I would like to see him get at least one more shot, right, before he ends up in the big three.
Oh, yeah. I mean, is that part of the reason they're looking at him? Because KD's out?
So, yeah, well, you know, I mean, you would have to think, right? I mean, it would be nice to have that, you know, veteran guy who, you know, I mean, even though, you know, obviously his skills are declining, you know, he is 30, I think 35 or 6, that's going to happen. But, you know, he can still get his own shot. And, you know, it's a guy you've got to think you would like, because he's not just going to stand out at the three-point line and chuck up shots for you. I mean, you can actually kind of integrate him into the offense and actually do things with him. So, you know, it could be a fun little signing. Because I saw, again, just one of those odd things I heard. Apparently, I believe it's Ice Cube, right? Who runs the Big Three?
Yeah.
Yeah, he wants Carmelo to play there next year. You know,
I mean,
and
just
try
job.
To. Yeah, well, you know, and interestingly, I mean, just this year, you know, the Big Three MVP was Joe Johnson. Now he was able to turn that into a contract with the Pistons. So, you know, like he didn't play in the NBA. Justin didn't play in the NBA last year. Before that, he spent some time with Utah and Houston. But, you know, he was another guy. Like, he was a good scorer in his career in the NBA, but he wasn't Melo. He was more of kind of, you know, an instant offense guy. He'd be the guy who'd roll off the bench and get you 6 or 8 points right away. But, like, for his career, he's a 16-point scorer where, you know, with even Carmelo's 2 bad years, his career scoring average is still 24 points. So, if you just imagine what it was if you take away the year with the Thunder and then the short stint with the Rockets. So, you know, I mean, if Joe Johnson could revive his career, I think if Carmelo doesn't get a shot this year, it's not a bad idea for him to take that offer up, is it?
No, it's not at all.
You know, and you'd go see a game, right, if Carmelo was playing?
Yeah, well, I'm still trying to get our press pass.
Yeah. You know, so, yeah, I thought it was kind of interesting. I mean, obviously, you know, even with, you know, everything going on, I mean, he's the biggest free agent left out there, right? I mean, a guy with that kind of resume, you know, I mean, he's got to be worth teams taking a look at.
Yeah, I think
but
as long as he doesn't expect to be 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Plus.
Are you surprised that he didn't end up overseas?
A little bit, but I don't take him for a guy who wants to go overseas.
So, yeah, and obviously, you know, that's one of the things people don't kind of realize is, you know, when you know, obviously you've got to kind of uproot your whole life. And I know he has I think they only have one kid, but either way, you still have to leave the kid and, you know, all that stuff. But the other thing, Dan, and now this isn't somebody, you know, I follow or anything on Twitter, but apparently – Kobe Bryant coached his daughter's fourth grade basketball team, or maybe it was a sixth grade basketball team, and they finished in fourth place. And I didn't see all of the tweet, but it was kind of funny because apparently one of the girls missed the game, whatever game they were playing there, because she had a dance recital. And Kobe on Twitter kind of questioned her dedication. And I actually thought it was kind of humorous because it sounds like this, you know, this is just something Kobe Bryant would do. I mean, but obviously, you know how it is now, Dan. It's PC and everybody's a winner. And he even mentioned that in our tweet. In his tweet, he put our fourth place, and then in parentheses, he put winners. So he's getting some heat for this, Dan. Is it justified, or what do you got here?
I mean, I don't know. Like, why is he tweeting about kicking basketball to begin with?
Well, it was his daughter, so. So, yeah, that was the main reason, obviously, it came out was the fact that it was his daughter's team. So, but, yeah, I thought that was humorous. So, but, all right.
I mean,
you know,
all winners, then who cares that the other girl didn't show up?
Well, you know, apparently the other girls put in some extra practice, and this girl kind of wasn't around. So, you know, like I said, he was kind of questioning her dedication, you know, but obviously if you think about it in sixth grade, you know, I just thought it was kind of humorous because it was so Kobe, you know, that
yeah.
It wasn't even funny. You know, that's him to a T. I mean, cutthroat, I'm going to kill you. I don't care what age group this is. And I'm just like, yeah, he might be a little too intense to be working with kids this age, but. You know, it was just kind of humorous. You have to take a look at the tweet if you can hunt it down and see what you think. But yeah, I got more of a humorous kick out of it than probably anybody who's actually a parent would. So, you know, just one of those things. I guess you'll be firing off tweets about the kids on your daughter's soccer team here real soon. So we'll have to look out
yep.
for that. No. But all right, Dan, I want to read you off this roster. We're going to switch to baseball here. I'm going to throw this roster at you, and I definitely want your opinion of it. Here's the starting lineup this guy used. Tom Murphy at catcher. Then the infield is Freddie Freeman, Jose Altuve, Matt Chapman, and Jorge Polanco. The outfield is Luis Arias from the Twins, Mark Cahana from the A's, Brian Reynolds from the Pirates. Freddie Galvis was his utility guy. That was the starting lineup. The pitchers he went with, Shane Bieber from the Indians, Luis Castillo from the Reds, Jack Flaherty from the Cardinals, Mike Miner from the Rangers, I almost said Braves because that's where he started, Ken Giles, the Blue Jays closer, Michael Givens out of the Orioles bullpen, and Liam Hendricks from the A's. What do you think of that lineup compared to like some of the lineups you've had or what you've seen and all the other stuff you've learned playing fantasy?
It's a 10-team league.
It is a 15-team league.
I mean, if it's not the winner, I don't know what it would be. Pretty solid lineup.
Yeah. Well, interestingly, this is the team that won the championship. This was the team that got our spot in the playoffs because they had more points than we did. So they were actually losers during the season. They were like the eighth place team in their division, but they got our playoff spot because they outscored us. And then they went on to win the championship. But, yeah, you know, I was just kind of looking at their team, and you know, it just made me realize more and more how – you don't have to draft frickin' outfielders in this league at all to do well.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I didn't even realize. You didn't really even name outfielders,
yeah.
Did you?
Well, the three guys they started were Luis Arias, Mark Quintana, and Brian Reynolds. You know, and then they had Freddie Galvis plugged in as their utility guy. So, yeah, it was just kind of like, okay. Interestingly, the team they beat had Bryce Harper on it. So, but yeah, that was the lineup that won our league last week. And I wasn't sure if, you know, I mean, obviously their infield is killer. You know, and I probably should go back and look at the draft and try to figure out where the heck they got these guys and how they managed to land that infield. But, you know.
That's a pretty quick playoff. Only one round?
Yeah. We went through everything. The playoff actually lasts, I'm trying to remember, I think it's 4 weeks. I think it lasts a month. So. But, yeah, you know, like, you know, Jack Flaherty picked a great time to get rolling for them. You know, he was a monster. And then, you know, I believe they added Liam Hendricks as a pickup during the season. So that worked out for them. But, yeah, I can't remember. I'm trying to remember if it was all – I think Altuve was their number one pick. But, yeah, you know, like they – you know, they did a nice job of finding the underrated starters who paid off, you know, with Bieber and Castillo, Flaherty and Minor. I mean, you know, those aren't exactly four guys you had at the top of the rotation anywhere. And it just kind of paid off for them.
Now, let me ask you, though, if they got in based on points, I mean, essentially, what's the whole point of having matchups every week? Why not just pick a lineup and you score points, and then that's how you determine. You know what I mean? Like, I guess I don't understand that process.
Well, the way apparently they decided this league works, and I was told this is how it's gone all. It's two divisions, so the division winners automatically get in. Okay, and then it's the teams with the next. I'm trying to remember. I think there's six playoffs. So it's the teams with the next best four records. But then if there's a team with more points that's out of the playoffs than a team that's in the playoffs, they get a spot, and that team drops out. And that's where we dropped out. We would have been the sixth team in the playoffs. You know, we had the sixth seed. And since this guy outscored us, or this team outscored Mr. Fantasy's in mind, he got our playoff spot, and we went to the extra league. But, yeah, it just kind of figures that, you know, this guy gets in and wins it, and we can't get in.
When are you just going to quit this crap?
I don't know. I keep telling myself that, you know, it's just frustrating as hell. I don't know. To be honest with you, I'm kind of hoping Mr. Fantasy gets sick of it, kind of like he did the Sunday podcast. And it just kind of disappears. You know, we'll just, you know, I, you know, who knows? You know, that or, you know, like, I honestly didn't think he was going to ask me to do football because, like, I hadn't heard from him, and I literally don't hear from him anymore. But surprisingly, yeah, he called me, like, the week before or whatever. So we'll see if he, you know, talks to me during baseball season or not. But yeah, I don't think it would be a big surprise if, you know, he decides he's getting out.
I mean, it just, I don't know. To me, it just sounds like every year there's a new BS rule or something where they kind of screw you guys.
Yeah, it does for whatever reason seem to happen to us. You know, every year just, you know, but apparently this rule has been in all along. I just don't ever remember hearing it, but then again, we didn't get in the league from the start. So, you know, I'm just kind of like, well, okay, if that's what they say, that's what I'll go with, and, you know, we'll see how it is, but, you know, I'll just deal with it. So, But all right, since we did get to baseball, Shohei Ohtani is going to be shut down for the rest of the year. He is going to undergo surgery on his left knee. Apparently, he has an issue with the bipartite patella. So they are going to cut him up. They do say it won't affect his Tommy John rehab. He'll it's about 8 to 12 weeks to recover. So here's what he did this year, Dan. He played in two more games than last year, so 106 this year. 18 home runs to 22 last year, 62 RBIs to 61 last year, and then he hit 286 this year. He hit 285 last year. You know, Dan, I know everybody loves this guy, and they're on the bandwagon, but are those superstar numbers? Because they don't seem like it to me.
Ask Mike Bryce Harper.
Yeah, did Bryce Harper even have that kid of the year? He hit 286. So.
Aren't we all wondering that? I mean.
I honestly think you and I are the only two who brought it up. Everybody's in love with this guy, and I still hear people keep saying he's the next Babe Ruth, and I was like, oh, okay.
What caused this injury, and instead of playing this year, which I mean, let's be honest, it was a complete waste of time. Why not just let him completely rehab?
Well, apparently hitting didn't have an issue with his rehab. So.
Thank you. Yeah, but even with, if Skaggs didn't, untimely death, this team wasn't playoff bound.
No, but I mean, if he can hit and it's not enough, his rehab from Tommy John, they should play him, right?
Yeah, I guess I'm still not buying that theory, but we'll see.
So, it's humorous here that even in this little article, they already have an excuse for him. They blame the drop-off in production could be something of a sophomore slump as pitchers get more used to him. So there you go.
Well, that pretty much everybody, though.
Right. That's what I would think. But, I just... threw it out there because they decided to add it to the little blurb about them. I was like, oh, okay, and we could say that about anybody who had a list or how it kind of works. I just kind of thought, oh, here you go. Basically just recovering from the ball, and that's what I would tell them about you. They're used to him, and he's got to make his adjustments now. So. But yeah, I don't know. Were we ever going to see the great full threat guy that we were promised?
In 2 years?
Well, it would be next year. He was healthy. He had some really good pitching performance last year when he was healthy. But we're talking about a guy who only makes $20, and obviously he had some bad ones. He only threw 51 2/3 innings, so he barely pitched over 5 innings a game. So, it's not like he was out there kneeling for 7 innings every start. The strikeouts were good. His strikeouts per 9 innings were 11, which is huge. But, you know, I mean, obviously he had his clunkers in there with the really good ones. Otherwise, you know, his inning total would have been higher. But, yeah, I mean, I don't really see the monster at the plate that I was promised. I mean, you know, we're talking about a year where the ball is juiced, and, you know, I just saw that Jorge Soler is over 40 home runs, and here's Ohtani sitting at 18. You know, I mean, this is a guy you would think they, you know, in a year like this would be 30-plus, wouldn't you? So, yeah, I don't know. You know, maybe they built up my expectations too much, and that's, you know, that's the issue with it is, I mean, I'm, you know, I'm expecting the modern-day Babe Ruth, you know, and Babe Ruth was a, you know, a 300-plus hitter in his career. You know, and I mean, obviously he's not going to get the 60 home runs after 60 home runs type of thing. I get that, but yeah, I guess I just expected more. And again, maybe that's just me. And, you know, now of course you got a question. I mean, is he injury prone? You know, I mean, we dealt with the Tommy John last year. You know, this year it's the knee, and he did miss the opening part of the season. He was on IR. You know, I mean, he's missed almost 60 games a year. You know, I mean, he's missing, what, a third of the season? So, well, yeah, actually a little less than a third of the season. But, you know, even so, that's a valuable time for a team that is really struggling to, you know, to make this up in the standings. And, you know, if he's going to be your second best player after Mike Trout, you need him in the lineup. You know, I mean, you know, he's got a, you know, he's got a player, he's got a pitch, or he's got to do, you know, whatever he's got to do here. And I I'm starting to look at it more and more like this is going to end up being a disappointment. And I just don't know if they're going to be able to work this out to where, you know, he's suitably acceptable as a dual player. And I don't know. I guess, you know, like I said, maybe I'm just expecting too much. Am I expecting too much from him?
Yes and no. I mean, the expectations were extremely high coming from the media standpoint. The saving grace for the Angels is the fact that, you know, he didn't get like a free agent deal. He got the young guys deal.
Yeah. So, yeah, I saw his salary for this year is only $650,000.
Oh, wow. He's not even – wow. I mean, so it's not the end of the world for the Angels, but he definitely has to step it up if he, you know, wants to get that next big-time contract. You know, not too many teams are – you know, the experiment is kind of out there with the you know, the pitcher-batter type thing. And, you know, I still don't know how I feel about it because, you know, Tampa has one, Brandon McKay. He's been up and down. I've had him on my team. I don't have the pitcher. I have the batter. But, you know, it doesn't really seem to really work out that well. And I don't know if it's because they're too protective. You know, with the whole, you know, because obviously the American League is the better spot for it because the kid or the young man can just DH as opposed to playing the field. But,
yeah,
you know, these guys grew up doing both. So once you get them into that major league program where they're only doing, you know, the hitting, you know, maybe that's part of the reason they're not succeeding because they're used to being on the field a little bit longer. Maybe,
yeah,
I don't want to say not succeeding, but not hitting some better expectations.
Yeah, you know, looking back at Ohtani's numbers from Japan, the only years he hit well were the last 2 years. He hit .332 the year before he signed with the Angels, but that was only in 65 games as a hitter. The year before that, he hit .322 in 104 games, and he posted a career-high 22 homers over there. You know, other than that, he only reached 10 homers there one time, and he had a year where he hit .202. So maybe the expectations of a hitter were a little outdated, because, I mean, his pitching numbers there are fantastic. I mean, you know, you're looking at ERAs. You know, the 1 year when he only pitched five games, his ERA was .320. But, you know, his other full seasons, we're looking at .261, .224, and .186. So maybe, you know, maybe they overblew the batting stats and this guy just needs to be a starting pitcher?
That's a possibility because, you know, let's take a look at some of the guys, and I know you don't have them all pulled up, but, you know, the numbers that Milwaukee Brewers guy that came back from Japan, you know, were pretty big in Japan. But after, what would you say, not even half the season of returning back to the States, he's not, you know, hitting 300 plus. He's not hitting 30 plus bombs.
It was actually Korea. That was Eric Thames. He actually played in Korea.
Oh, he played in Korea.
Yeah.
Damn. But, I mean,
but
some of the guys that go there, they don't come back and just blow up.
Yeah. Well, I pulled up your guy Brandon McKay's stats, and I'm realizing that they only gave him five plate appearances and he didn't get a hit. So I don't know how much experimenting they did. As a starter, he made 9 starts. He was 2-2 with a .503 ERA. But you would expect that a little bit out of a 23-year-old kid. You know, it's rare for those guys to come up and, you know, be aces. So, it's no surprise there. But, yeah, it didn't look like the Rays had any interest in him being a dual player at the major league level.
I should have did some more research because I had him on my bench for a while now.
You know, and I mean, the one guy who's actually had some success with it is, you know, Michael Lorenzen from the Reds. But oddly, he's had more success as a pinch hitter than hitting when he's a reliever. And I think it helps him that he's a reliever also. But yeah, humorously, I thought I saw a stat that said when he hits as the pitcher, you know, when he's technically a reliever and he gets up and he takes his at bat, he doesn't have a hit. But as a, you know, as an actual batter, you know, when he steps up to pinch hit, he's hitting .333.
Wow.
So it's just kind of strange. He's got a homer and he's actually stolen 3 bases. He's played every outfield position. As a reliever, he's appeared in 68 games, and his record's terrible at 1-4, but his ERA is .320. So, you know, while he's not, you know, while he's been on the wrong side of some decisions, his ERA is really good. You know, you wonder if maybe it would be a little easier if these guys were relievers. I mean, you know, the guy could go out and play left field for 6 innings, come in and pitch the 7th, you know, the 7th or the 8th or something, and go back out to the outfield.
Yeah. Well, and we've seen that experiment with Joe Maddon and what's his name that went to San Diego. It didn't, didn't hurt him. Travis Wood.
Yeah. You know, I guess the only question would be is, could you get loose enough playing catch in the outfield to be ready to come in and work your inning? Because, you know, you're only going to get those 8 or 10 warm-up pitches. You know, would you be loose enough? But I guess, you know, if you knew you were going in, there's got to be someplace in the, you know, underneath the stadium where you could warm up, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, that's one of the things. you know, one of those hypotheticals you and I talked about, you know, when that $500 million was up for the lotto, and you're like, what would you do? I'm like, well, what would I like to do? Even if I had the money, it wouldn't happen because Jerry Reinsdorf is not going to die anytime soon and sell the team. You know, I immediately said I would buy the White Sox and redo the stadium. And one of the things that I think just needs to go away completely, and this is where I like what the Cubs did, was they, you know, they took, well, whatever, how you feel about it. I grew up with them on the, you know, with the mound and the crap on the side. It was emulated in San Francisco. But what I like about what the Cubs did was they kind of took that out and just hit them, so to speak. Now, does that really work for what you're describing? No. But like I said, if, you know, I bought the White Sox, I would redo the stadium. And instead of having the bullpen on the outfield, you know, we would want that for fans and something fun for the fans. And putting that stuff underground, say underneath first and third base, so that the relievers, basically they come out of the dugout as opposed to coming out of left field and having to run all that far, or, you know, take it back to the Padres. They used to have the golf cart. I thought they were going to bring it back, but, you know, I mean, for me, aesthetically, it's cool, I guess, when you first get there to see the pitchers warming up. But I mean, there was I forget what game I was watching. You know, even the White Sox over the weekend, it's kind of wasted space. And then you've got the players. You know, that was always my pet peeve with indie wrestling. And I, you know exactly where I'm coming from. You know, their match is over, and where are these guys at? Sitting out in the crowd. And it almost seems like with the relief pitchers and the way they're set up in the outfield, they're sitting with the crowd. And it's just kind of a waste of space. Put them underground. Let them be accessible to the dugout, the clubhouse. I mean, because that was one of the things I saw going to the White Sox and getting those diamond seats, buying home plate, the waitress, which was pretty sweet, was the fact that, you know, I ran to the bathroom and you're in the tunnels under, you know, underneath the stadium or whatever, the stands. And when the pitchers want to go to the bullpen, they've got to call a golf cart. You know, some guy comes, picks them up, and like four of them run out, or, you know, hey, I'm in the bullpen, I got to go to the bathroom. You got to call for your golf cart to come get you and try to run over Chuck Garfine. But you know what I mean? It's one of those nuances that I don't think they've really looked into yet. But I think that's one of the only ways that a situation like that could truly work, where you could have a guy, you know, playing left field and then in between innings go down and warm up.
Yeah, you know, it's just you think there's a way. See, I like the mound on the side like that, but, you know, I'm old, and, you know, that's just kind of how it is. So
I like it too, but yeah. These guys are getting paid too much money.
Yeah, you know, obviously, yeah, that's the problem is, you know, you can't have that guy get hurt. So, you know, I get it. It's kind of, you know.
You know, and it's funny though. I kind of trail off topic here though. You know, it wasn't until you said that as to why the netting has become such an issue. You know, the White Sox were the first team to do it from foul pole to foul pole, and when you're in the outfield, you really can't notice. But I also was in center field looking at the action, not the netting. My brother-in-law was going to point it out, but that's probably one of the biggest differences as to why they need the netting, is because those mounds are gone and the seats are so close to the foul line now that you kind of need that, where before, you know, you had an extra 20, 30 feet. Granted, you know, when the exit velocity is 600 miles an hour or whatever, however they judge it, coming fast either way, but at least you had a little bit more time to react, right?
Well, you know, I mean, when the mounds were on the side, you were actually paying attention to the game. You weren't talking on your phone or, you know, trying to tweet something from the game and stuff. So, you know, it's a little, you know, a little different era there with the things there. So, you know, just one of those things. Because I know it was funny. I know somebody pointed out when Victor Caratini's back got hooked in the netting. They were like, oh, well, look, that netting really worked it out, so it didn't get in the crowd and hit some kid. Well, A, how do you know it was going to hit a kid? And B, if you're paying attention, you're going to be prepared for what's coming at you. So, you know, the bat isn't coming at you 100 miles an hour like the baseball is. So, yeah, I was just like, shut up, idiot. So.
Yeah, well, the only thing, one of the things I think would be cool about the netting, though, is if you're a first, third, you know, left, right fielder, is the tension. You know, this is one of those crazy things that no one's going to, you know, really think about. But if the tension is perfect, you know, you don't really have to worry about running in and falling over. You could really dive into that thing, catch the ball, and bounce off.
And, you know, we've seen guys do that at, you know, good old guaranteed rate. You know, I saw Ryan Cordell do that for the Sox. It might have been 2 weeks ago. You know, he had it perfectly timed, and he jumped up into the netting and, you know, let the netting kind of secure him. He made the catch, and it brought him right back to the field. So, you know, just kind of how it works out. But, you know, here, Dan, I wanted to ask you, are the Yankees going to get kind of healthy here at just the right time? You know, they're reporting that Luis Severino is going to come back and start next Tuesday. You know, obviously he's not going to be ready to be extended, but still you're getting a fantastic arm back. They're saying that it looks like Giancarlo Stanton could also be back on Tuesday. And apparently Jordan Montgomery and Dellin Betances aren't too far away from making their returns with, you know, 10 games to go. That's plenty of time to get a reliever ready. You know, I know they had a big loss last night. I think that Aaron Hicks is done for the year. It's looking like he actually may need Tommy John, so he may be done for next year as well. And Mike Tauchman is going to be out, but obviously if Stanton is coming back, Tauchman would probably be the guy who would lose playing time. But, yeah, is this going to work out just right for him, and all of a sudden we're going to see what, you know, should have been these guys in their frontline lineup to begin the year back just in time for the playoffs? And then I guess in the odder question, would it hurt the chemistry? Because all of a sudden you got the big, what would be a stud lineup, and you don't have kind of those grinders that made your year.
No, I don't really think it'll hurt the chemistry. I think the Yankees put together a team that's meant to work together this year, no matter what the circumstances are. You know, my only question is, and I forget how the qualifications for playoff rosters go. And will that affect anybody not making the playoff roster because they didn't start, you know, come back at the right time?
No, because they're all on the 40-man roster.
Oh, okay.
So they're safe. You know, they were all there at the beginning of the year, and obviously you're not dropping, you know, Luis Severino, Giancarlo Stanton, those kind of guys, you know, off your 40-man roster. But, yeah, it is kind of humorous when I'm thinking about it. I mean, here, basically, I just asked you the question if it's bad that the Yankees got Giancarlo Stanton back or are getting him back. So.
No, I don't think it's bad. You just got to wonder how well he's going to perform.
So, yeah, you know, obviously, you know, they're going to have enough time to, you know, give them at bats and, you know, especially the relievers, you know, for an inning or so, you know, they can do that real quickly. Severino, I mean, I guess if he's good, he can go out and throw like 4 scoreless innings, right? He's the new opener?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, coming back from an injury and then kind of his track record in the playoffs, is he really the man that's going to go long for you? And
yeah.
I forget how the bullpen will look, who was setting up besides, you know, while Betances was gone, but was it Sean Green?
No, they've had, you know, they went out and paid Adam Ottavino, and then they brought Zach Britton.
Oh,
back.
That's right, Ottavino. And Britton.
Green,
I mean,
was actually working
as about,
the opener.
It's just so hard to keep up with a lot of the teams when, you know, we don't get to do that for a living and cry about how games
yeah.
are 4 hours long. But, I mean, think about, you know, like you just said, you've got Ottavino, Green even, Britton, Betances, and why can't I say Aroldis's name right now? Chapman, you've
yeah.
got those four. So realistically, you only need Seve to go four innings.
So yeah, you know, especially, you know, if a guy like Jordan Montgomery is healthy, he could come in and give you three out of the pen easy, following Severino
mm-hmm.
up, because he's been a starter before. So, you know, it might not be that, you know, that much of a risk or anything for him. So, yeah, I just thought it was interesting that it seems like it's kind of, you know, obviously minus the horrible Aaron Hicks injury that they're going to have to suffer through. Yeah, it seems like they're going to start getting guys back at just the right time. You know what I mean? Even like today, it looks like they're on their way to a doubleheader sweep of the Tigers. They won the first game 10-4, and they're winning right now 4-2 in the bottom of the seventh. So, you know, it's not going to be much longer before they're closing out that division.
Did CC pitch in the first game, or is he pitching now?
Let me grab the box score here, and I can tell you. Because I haven't seen any stats or anything from today, so I will let you know. Come on, hopefully we'll get the box score before we go off the air here. I'm not making any promises though. There we go. Yes, actually, J.A. Hopp pitched the first game, so Pusey must be pitching now. So
okay, that's good. Because when I first looked, all I seen was my, you know, my matchup, and I saw three innings. I'm like, great. Man, they only went three innings.
So, yeah, I can tell you here that he actually did only go three innings. He went 3 1/3. Three hits, two runs, one walk, five strikeouts. What they did is, he made the start, and then they followed him up with Domingo Herman. So they went starter in game two.
Interesting. I mean, it's,
so,
you know, I you got to save CeCe for the playoffs, but come on, man, I need my innings for the week. I'm in the playoffs.
You guys are killing Dan. He's trying to win a playoff series. You know, you can't do these things.
Come on, Dylan Covey. He better do some stuff tomorrow. Or at least pitch six innings. Man.
Well, I don't know. I think if you're lucky, I think you get five, but that's asking a lot out of him. So.
Well, I'm scared because I have Wade Miley going Sunday, and his last outing was only like an inning.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe that'll be your saving game. A lot better for you. So.
Time Radio got it.